You know Jesus Christ, aren't you glad you're free today? Praise the Lord, amen. I'm glad to be free today. Thank God, as Martin Luther King said, thank God Almighty, I'm free. Praise the name of the Lord. So we need to, this is a time to be grateful. This is a time to be thankful. And there was a price paid for us to be free, but you know what? There still is a price to pay to remain free. And let's look at our theme scripture here in Galatians 5:1. Praise God. I usually like to use the King James Version. Glory to God, I'm kind of old school. But praise God, you know, some things you just can't seem to break. Praise God. Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Praise God. The first two words, stand fast. In other words, you just can't say I'm free and go somewhere and sit down. You know, when the United States won that Revolutionary War, they didn't cease to not have a military. Praise God, but they took the time and built up. We got a military today, amen? And that military is basically has the same purpose that it had back in the days of George Washington. It's to not only keep our freedom, but to maintain our freedom, amen? So we as children of God, praise God, we ain't gotten saved. We've gotten born again. Thank God for that. Praise God, but you just can't sit and hold your hands. You need to fight. You still need to be prepared to go to war, amen? The Bible says, what? Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And then it says what? Stand. And that's what this scripture is telling us, to stand. We have to stand to stay free, amen? You just don't hold your hands and say, I'm free, and you can't just do anything you want to do. You're an army in the Lord, amen? So you need to always be prepared to go to war. Glory to God. This is war. You know, and that's the thing. I think too much of the church is asleep at the wheel. And because you're asleep at the wheel, the enemy comes in there and he starts to take some here. He starts to steal some there. And before you know it, you back bound up all over again. Need somebody to pray for you. Need to be delivered all over again. Praise God. But if you're every day, thank God, we're in a war for every day. We got a fight. We got a battle to win. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you are ready to fight? How many of you are ready to stand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every day. And so with freedom, there's things you have to know in order to even be free. You just can't go haphazardly and not know anything. You need to, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So we need to know something. We need to know what God's word says. We got to know what the weapons of our warfare are. Praise God. And one thing that I think we have to know, the laws that govern life. You know, you got physical laws, the law of gravity, and you have spiritual laws. Praise God. In fact, the spirit laws are the parent to the natural laws. Amen. So we need to know what laws govern life in order to be able to live a life of freedom. Amen. Let's go to, and just talking about, I know Pastor talked about some of these too. Let's talk about some of the laws. We'll just go through some of the laws real quick. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remain at seed time, harvest, cold, hot, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease." So we have to know that seed time and harvest, I know we think of it as, you know, going out and planting something in the garden, or the farmer is planting corn this year or soybeans or something like that. You know, but seed time and harvest affects really every aspect of our life. You know, it's not just putting money in the bucket and sowing to the kingdom of God, but everything that you do or everything that you say has probably something to do with seed time and harvest. So we need to be aware of what we do. We need to be aware of our actions and what we speak. Another law is the law of kindness. That's in Proverbs 31:26. "And she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." So you know what? If you want people to be kind to you and to treat you nice, you need to start planting seeds in that area. you know, just open the door for somebody, or just even smile. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Just sow some seeds of kindness, and before you know it, you'll have kindness coming back to you. I remember some months ago there, I was in Oklahoma City, and I mean, I don't know whether I'm walking or riding a bike, I forgot what I was, but little children just on the side of the road just waving at you and everything, and people just smiling and treating you nice and everything else. And I said, I don't a bit more know these people, but I smile back, you know. But you know what? We should reflect the glory of God. You know, those little children always want to be around Jesus, because Jesus reflected love and kindness and gentleness. And when kids want to be around you, that's a good thing. Amen? Praise God. We also talk about the law of faith in Romans 3 and 27. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 3:27. Now I'm looking at this. Okay, where is boasting then? Is it excluded by what law? By works? No, but the law of faith. Praise God, you got to be operating in the law of faith. Why do you have to operate in the law of faith? Because faith pleases God. Amen? How many of you want to please God? Amen. Praise God. So you need to always have your faith engaged in something. Always have your faith tied into something. I don't care if it seems like you got all your needs met. Find somebody that's going through something. And lock in with them. Lock in with faith and lock in agreement with them. Praise God, and help them get free. Amen? Is that all right? So we need to walk in the law of faith. That should be our way of life. That should be our method of operation, is to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Praise God. Bear ye one another's burdens. This is the law of Christ. This is in Galatians 6 and 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's basically the same thing as walking by faith. Praise God, helping somebody else, helping people get delivered. So, you know, nothing just happens on its own. You know, everything has a reason. Praise God, wherever there's an action, there is a reaction. Don't think that what you do is just going to go floating away somewhere. But we have to realize that our actions have consequences. Amen. Good or bad, amen? So we need to be very aware. It says in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Praise God. So everything that we do, we need to be very watchful of what we say, what we do, And where we, you know, who we interact with and how we interact with them. We need to be very thoughtful about what we do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I like what Proverbs 26:2 says. It says, the curse causeless shall not come. So things just don't happen. Basically, that's what I'm getting back to. Things just don't happen. There is a reason for everything. And we need to stop. Sometimes it's good to stop and examine yourself and see where you are. Okay, today I want to talk about two major laws that govern life. And let's go to Romans 8 and 1. One, we'll start at verse 1 and read to verse 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And read this with me together. For the law of the Spirit, let's start over again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we got two laws here that are operating in the earth. We got the law of the life of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and we got the law of sin and death. And under the heading of the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we've had, just like we just read there, the law of faith, the law of love, the law of kindness. And then on the other side of the thing, we can look at the law of sin and death. What's under the law of sin and death? The law of fear, selfishness, hatred. And then, of course, we go down to the Galatians more, we can also see other things that result that sprang out of the law of sin and death there. Just like we can also look on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and also read down through the fruits of the Spirit. So we have these two laws. But always know, praise God, that the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will always when applied by faith, will always supersede the law of sin and death. Praise God, the Bible says what? Our weapons are mighty through God. To what? To pulling down the strongholds and every imagination that exalts itself against the word of God. Amen? So we always realize that you, my Christian brothers and sisters, praise God, we have power, praise God, over the law of sin and death. But I also want to let you know, too, that the devil is very tricky and he's very subtle. And so we need to be on the guard, because one of the major ways that he tries to trick us and trip us up is by how we speak or our words. So let's turn here to Proverbs 18 and 21. This is one of the major ways that the enemy trips us. The people of God trips up the churches through our words. It says what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. You know, whether that be death or whether that be life. We have to guard our tongue. Praise God. And sometimes, and I don't believe, you know, I pray that we don't have any Christians that's been here any long time that's using a lot of profanity or cussing or nothing like that. I hope we don't. I tell you, man, this was some years ago. I seen this woman in the store there, and she was just clowning and cutting up and everything else. And she had her T-shirt on, Abundant Faith. I thought, oh man, oh my goodness. I said, oh my God, just clowning, just making a mess and everything. And then got, you know, Lord help us. But we want to make sure that we watch our mouths. Praise God. We don't want to be speaking negative words. And like I said, you may not, you know, you can't, you know, don't be using foul language and stuff like that. But what the devil tends to kind of trip us up on is really just casual speech. Sometimes it's just the casual things that we say that we're unaware of that can give the devil, you know, a foot in the door to be able to cause death, to cause steal, to open the door for stealing, killing, and destroying. And one of the phrases that you hear all the time, you hear it in the world, you hear it growing up, oh, that just scared me to death. You don't want to be scared to death. And then some of them just say, oh, child, I'm afraid I just can't make it. I mean, just, you know. And then it says, oh, I just love you to death. I don't want to be loved to death. I don't want to die early. You know, love me to life. You know, speak life over me. Love me to life. Amen. And sometimes we can come up and people will come up and they'll be wanting prayer for healing, deliverance, and everything else. And we pray and we agree with the prayer of faith. You know that you're healed, that you're delivered. Don't go home and just say, oh, I'm just sick as a dog. You know, you just canceled out that prayer. You just canceled out that agreement. So we need to be very watchful about our words. What the Bible says, the little foxes are the ones that destroy the vine. And the devil can get us so, we can say things under our unconsciousness, you know, that we don't want to happen. We don't want those things to come to pass in our life. So we need to what? Watch our words. Death and life, what? Is in the power of the tongue. And whatever you do, mothers, dads, whatever you do, don't speak negative thoughts over your children. Don't speak negative words over them. Now, I mean, kids cut up, they get in trouble, they do all kinds of stuff. You know, but whatever you do, don't condemn them. Correct them, but don't condemn them. Amen? You can correct them without condemning them. You can just put, you know, point them in the right direction and put them on the right track, but don't tell them you'll never amount to nothing. Don't tell them you ain't no good. Don't feed that into your children's lives. I mean, kids grow up like that. They grow up with that mentality. Well, you know, I ain't no good. Your father wasn't no good. You ain't no good. That's a hard thing to overcome. I tell you what, that's one of the worst ways to abuse a child is to put a negative sin-filled conscience in their life. That's one of the worst things that you can do. You know, some parents have literally signed their children's death warrant. They usually assigned them to prison or something, you know. So let's watch our words, and especially when we're around, not just over ourselves, but when we're around other people, praise God, around our children, watch your words and make sure you always speak life, words of life. Yeah. Speak words of health and strength and encouragement. Amen? Is that all right? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another one, that just tickles me to death. Nobody tickle you to death. You know, all kinds of idle words. We have to be very, very careful about speaking idle words. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew, praise God. I got my notes before me. Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew, I'll just turn there. Matthew 12 and 36. Let's look at that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So every word, every idle word, that's one thing about Jesus. None of his words never hit the ground. Praise God, every word that had was put forth. And you know, we think about words, and usually in our minds, we just think that words are just used for communication. You know, you communicate to this person, you communicate to that person. But really, words are much stronger than that. Words are containers. Words are creative power. You know, when God created the world, he created it with what? Words. Praise God. He spoke and it was. He said, God said and it was. You know, light be, or let there be light. You know, let there be a firmament under the heavens. You know, let there be the birds and the flying things and the creatures. All of that was spoken with words. All of that was spoken and created words. You know, and even when he brought the animals to Adam, everything that Adam said about that creature, that's what it was. So our words have creative power in them. They're much more powerful and much more thoughtful than just communicating. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So that's what we have to be. And you know, God created us in his image. You know, even sinful man, you could read over in James, the third chapter, even sinful man, praise God, can use his words to create life and death too. Praise God. So we can create life or death with our words. Praise God. It's all in the power of our words. I always think about this sitcom there. One thing that stands out about me, praise God, this sitcom used to come on. I guess they probably run it on the cable station there. I think about Sanford and Son. And I think about, you know, you remember the picture a pastor had of Aunt Esther the other week there. And I think about Sanford and Son. And, of course, Sanford, he's a, you know, patriarch of the family and everything. And every so often when he run into a great problem, an overwhelming problem or overwhelming situation, he always go to this routine where he starts to clutch his heart. And of course he's a widower, so and supposedly his wife is up in heaven. And so he's clutching his heart and he's always saying, this is a big one. This is, you know, like he's having a hard time. This is the big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming to be with you, baby. I'm coming. Oh, and he goes into that big old routine and everything else. And we laugh and everything, and we make fun of that. We really never thought about it. But some years later, he was working on a set on another sitcom, and you know what happened? The big one finally came. That actor, Red Fox, the actor, died on the set of a massive heart attack. Now, what he did not realize is that, you know, all that time, and we're playing, and we're even laughing along with him, but what he's doing is he's setting some laws in motion. He's setting a law of death and sin and death. He's setting that thing into motion with his words and everything else. And just like the Bible said, there's coming a day of judgment. And you know what? Sometimes when we think about judgment, I always think about the afterlife. You know, we're going to get judged after we leave this world. But I tell you what, judgment can come right here, right now. So we need to be very thoughtful about how we use our words about death and life. And that time came to him. I think about, God rest her soul, Tammy Baker and everything else. The Lord was blessing her and everything. She had been sick a long time and all that stuff. But she was so happy and so thrilled to get back on the Larry King show and declare, my cancer's back. I said, what is she doing? And exactly, didn't last no time, little 60-pound woman, cancer took her out. So we have to be very watchful. We want to always speak life. We want to always speak God's word. We want to always be full of his spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. We always want to walk in the spirit. We only want to say what the word of God says about us. I don't care if you're coughing and up and everything else. It's by his stripes I'm healed. Praise God. You got to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. By his stripes, I'm healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take some medicine. Goo, 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 goo. By his stripes, I'm healed. Praise God. I don't care what you're going through. May look at your billfold. Oh, thank God. Me to all my needs. Amen. Praise God. We got to be like Abraham. Call the thing that be not as though it were. We're calling it because we want it to be. You know, we want it. This is what we want. Amen. We don't deny sickness. We don't deny, you know, lack sometime. But praise God, we just deny it to have its rule over us. Amen? I just deny it to have its rule or have its power over me. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to watch our mouths. We need to keep a watch over our tongue. You know, we need to pray, Lord God, keep a watch over my mouth. Keep a watch over my tongue. And, you know, we all make mistakes. But when you do, repent. Repent. Lord, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. Lord, I'm sorry about that. I take that back. Remember the three bad confessions that Peter had? Praise God, denied Jesus three times. Praise God, how many times did Jesus commend him to feed his sheep? Three times. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, you know I love you. Praise God. So it's good to get rid of that old sin. Root that sin out. Amen. We need to root that sin out, root that thing out. If it's something that seemed like the devil trying to get a stronghold in, we need to take the time out and root it out. Somebody say, root it out. Root it out of me, Lord. Root it out of me, Lord. Praise God. I repent. Glory to God. Clean up my vocabulary. I put a watch over my mouth. I keep my mouth in line with the word of God. And one good way to always keep your mouth aligned with the word of God is always to have a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude for the Lord. Praise God. Walk around praising him and magnifying and glorifying God. The Bible says what? Be not drunk with wine, but be what? Be what? Filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. God wants his people to be filled. Y'all was saying what? What was y'all singing? Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Don't just wait to get the church to say, fill me up. Go walking around the house, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your power. Hallelujah. Until there ain't no room for no other mess to get in. Amen? Amen. You get the filled up to the overflowing. Praise God. There ain't going to be no room for no mess. Amen? Amen. All right. Glory to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Avoid negative speech. Praise God. Don't allow the devil to use your mouth against you. He ain't got no power of his own. He's got to use your power to work against you. So we don't want that to happen. Praise God. Okay, another determining factor about walking in our freedom is to walk in the Spirit, that we will not what fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to Galatians 5:15. There. This I say then: walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. So we need to yield ourselves to God. And then go on down here to verse 18, too. It talks about the works of the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And that's a thing, that's a point to make here. When we are led of the Spirit, there's no law. The law of sin and death has no power over us. So when we walk in the Spirit, it just notifies that old law of sin and death. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy and murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not, being controlled by the flesh, you will not walk in God's ways. You will not walk in the principles of God. Amen. Praise God. But here's the good part about it: walking in the fruits of the Spirit, which is Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and that's all falls under the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is what? No law. No law. There's nothing that supersedes the law of walking in the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So just like you were walking, you know, we need to major. Too often, we have been majoring on sin. We've been looking at sin in our own lives or weaknesses in our own lives. Too often, we have been looking at sin and weakness in the lives of others, and whether they're your children or spouse or whatever. Too often, we've been looking at sin. And that's what the devil wants us to do. And of course, he's going to show out too. He's going to definitely show out. If you're paying attention to the devil, he's going to show out. Amen? He's going to really show out if you're paying attention to him. But what we need to do is to major on righteousness and life in Christ Jesus. Because our law, the law that we're operating on, is so much more powerful than the law of sin and death. And that's what keeps us weak, is because we're focusing on weakness. Praise God, if we would focus on strength, if we would focus on the word, praise God, then we will walk in strength and we'll walk in love. Amen. He said what? The Bible says what? He has not what given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We need to walk in power. We need to walk in love and keep a sound mind. Amen. So the law of Christ supersedes the law of sin and death, just like the law of lift and thrust, which is applied to an aircraft, supersedes the law of gravity. The law of gravity is always at work. Praise God, when you woke up this morning, you put your feet on the floor and you stayed there. You didn't go floating off into the sky. You wouldn't just, duh, you woo, woo, woo. No, you were flat on the ground. And if you get up on a 10-story building and think that you're going to float and think the angels are going to catch you, no, 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 it ain't happening. So the law of gravity is at work. And when you were born in this life, the law of sin was working. You were born a sinner, amen? Praise God. And you needed help. Praise God. You need to be able to rise above that law of sin and death, just like that aircraft rises above the law of gravity and defies the law of gravity. And you do it through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will help you to rise above the sin, all the bad stuff, all the ugliness of this world. Praise God. But we have to apply it. We have to apply the principles, glory to God, that will cause us to rise above. And how do you do that? Hallelujah. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, praise God, and you start allowing the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit to start to grow and to start to develop in your life, then you'll find yourself rising above. Praise God, rising above this world, rising above this demon-infested world, rising above sickness and disease, rising above poverty, rising above lack. Glory to God, rising above problems in your marriage and all kinds of things. Somebody shout amen. Amen. God wants his people to rise above. Praise God. Our weapons are stronger than what the enemy has. Praise God. So we need to stop trying to, it's not so much of what you try to stop doing or try to quit doing as much as what you start doing. Amen. Glory to God. It's what we need to start doing, the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't get so hung up on sin. Yeah, sin is there. Yeah, you're weak in this area. We don't deny that. Praise God. But what we do acknowledge is that we acknowledge that the word of God is more powerful than that. We acknowledge that we're more than a conqueror through him that loves us. We acknowledge that greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. We acknowledge that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think about this. I heard this story. It's a true story, too, about this young man. He hadn't been saved long. And this pastor at the church and everything else. And this young man, he had a bad habit. He had a smoking habit that he just couldn't seem to kick and everything. He loved the Lord with all his heart and everything. And I think he'd been to prayer meetings and been to different other revivals and stuff like that, and looked like he was just totally frustrated, because every time he looked around, he was picking up his cigarettes again and going back to smoking again. And so he came to this pastor and said, "Pastor, I just can't quit smoking. I tried. I just can't quit. I just can't stop. Can you help me? Can you?" He said, "Oh, sure, I can help y'all. There's no problem. But I just keep on smoking." He said, Yeah. No, hey, all I want you to do is just do what I tell you to do. Will you do what I tell you to do? Yeah, I'll do it. Okay. Next time you go to the convenience store or the grocery store or whatever, and you see those cigarettes behind the counter, and you got to have the urge to buy them, say, go ahead and buy them. Go ahead and buy them? Yes, go ahead and buy the cigarettes. Okay. And then when you get that cigarettes in your hand, just look up and just hold them up to heaven and just say, Lord, I thank you for delivering me from cigarettes, from delivering me from smoking. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. He said, then after a while, you get the urge to smoke, and you pull out one of those cigarettes. Just hold that cigarette up to the heaven and just say, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for delivering me from smoking. Thank you for delivering me from cigarettes. Oh, yeah, okay. You're going to light that cigarette. And then you're going to put that cigarette in your mouth. You're going to take a big drag, and you're going to blow it out. He said, I want you to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I thank you for delivering. But I'll be smoking. No. You're going to do what I'm saying? Yeah. Say, Lord, thank you for delivering me from cigarettes. He said, when you go to bed at night and you put that cigarettes on your little nightstand, just pat it and look up to heaven and just say, Lord, I thank you for delivering me from cigarettes. Do it. I want you to do it. Are you going to do it? Yes, sir. I'll do it. He said about 3 weeks later, that young man come busting through the church doors with a big old smile on his face and said, the Lord delivered me from cigarettes. He said, I was on the corner and I took a drag of that cigarette and I said, Lord, thank you for delivering me from cigarettes. And all of a sudden, something on the inside broke. Something on the inside set me free. Something on the inside happened. And I had no desire, no taste for cigarettes ever again. Hallelujah. They say the song say what? Something on the inside, working on the outside, brought about a mighty change in me. God's power works on the inside. It works on the root. The root is on the inside. It's not so much of what you see on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. And the Spirit of God and the power of God is working on the inside. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, the Bible said what? He cursed it at the roots. Praise God. The moment that he cursed it at the root, you didn't see no change. It was just as green as it was before he spoke to it. Praise God. But the next morning, praise God, the next morning, where is that old fig tree? That old fig tree had what? Dried up at the roots and died. That old cigarette addiction was cursed at the root. When he spoke God's word and he applied the word of God to it, it cursed that old root of cigarettes and smoking, and it died up at the roots. Praise God, amen. You may not see it at the time, but the word is working. Somebody say, the word is working. Praise God. So it's about what you do. It's about what you do with the word. Praise God. The Bible says what? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So the power is majoring on the word and minoring on the sin. Amen? We need to major on the word and what the word of God is doing more than we give credence to sin. Praise God. And the word, allow the word to do its work. Praise God. Don't take up that seed. Don't root up the seed. Praise God. But let that word take root in your heart and it'll cast out and it'll drive out everything. I don't care if it's cigarettes. I don't care if it's alcoholism. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's pornography. Praise God. If we give the word, if we put the word in our mouth and put it in our hearts and start speaking that word, praise God, it will break the power. It will break those chains and it will set the captives free. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word works. Praise God. The Bible said what Abraham called the thing that be not as though it were. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham, 99 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. Praise God. Couldn't see it working. But the Bible says what? He was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Because, hallelujah, he believed, praise God, the word of God. And that's what it takes for us to believe the word of God and to stand fast in that power. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So we need to trust in the word, and we need to keep that word. Keep it in our heart. Keep it in our mouth. Keep on speaking it. Glory to God. After a while, praise God, things will change. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word works. So don't get hung up on the don'ts. Only do the do's. Do the do's, and you won't have to worry about the don'ts. You know what? If we spend more time confessing the word of God, if we spend more time speaking God's word, the less time we'll be confessing our sins. Amen? I may have to confess my sins every other day, but if I start saying I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, after a while, that's going to supersede the mistakes that I've made. After a while, I won't have to be confessing sin as much. Thank God that if we miss it, that we can repent. That's good. Praise God. But I don't want to have to repent every day. I should be strong enough, praise God, that I can at least go a week. Praise God. After a while, I should be strong enough that I can go a month. Amen. Glory to God. God wants his people to be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wants us to be free. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. One more thing we want to touch on here. Glory to God is fear. And we need to cast out fear. We don't, you know, the world used to say, it's okay to have a little fear. No, no, no. We don't need no fear at all. Somebody say no fear here. Praise God. Look at the company that fear keeps. Let's go to Revelations 21 and 8. Fear keeps some bad company. It says, but the fearful, number one on the list, and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's at the top of the list? Fear. Fear is at the top of the list. And they talking about it's okay to have a little fear. Is it okay to have a little murder? I just killed one guy. I mean, just pushed him under the, pushed him in the ditch there, you know. Or is it okay to have a little whoremongering or a little abomination? No, no, no. You don't need none of it. Praise God. But we don't need no fear. Somebody shout no fear here. Amen. Praise God. So we don't want no part of fear. We don't want the devil to have any little bit of hold in our lives whatsoever. Praise God. Because what? Christ has delivered us. Free has completely delivered us. Praise God that we don't have to give in to anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. And really the last fear and the greatest fear, which the devil, before Jesus stripped him of his power, the greatest fear that he had over mankind was the fear of death. And let's look at here at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives subjected to bondage. So the devil, praise God, thank God for Jesus. I'm going to read this, verse 15 in the Amplified. And also he that he might deliver or completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death, who were in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. Praise God. So Jesus has set us free. And one thing that we got to do as Christians, we got to make up our mind. We got to be totally committed to, I will not fear death. Yeah. I don't care what you face, and I don't care. We need to come to that conclusion that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah. Amen. We need to arrive at the conclusion. I like what the pastor taught over about the three Hebrew boys there a couple of weeks ago. They say, oh, King, we will not bow. But our God is able to deliver. But if he doesn't, let it be known, we won't bow. We have to have that same resolve that God will deliver me. But if he don't, I'm going down trusting him. I'm going down fighting. Praise God. As the old cowboy said, I'll die with my boots on. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna go down with the guns blazing. The cliff is gonna be empty. Praise God. Maybe I didn't know enough, but one thing was for sure: I'm going down in the name of Jesus. And once we make up that, once we settle that in our hearts and our mind, now I can stand. Now I can stand on Psalms 23. Now I can stand on Psalms 91. Praise God. Now I can stand that by His stripes I'm healed. Glory to God, because there's no fear here. And if there's no fear here, the devil ain't got no way of holding me back. There's no way that he can draw me back or to make me take off. Praise God, because I've already committed to the Lord. And for Christ I'll live, hallelujah. If I got to die, I'll die for Christ. Hallelujah. For Christ I live, and to die is gain. Praise God. Jesus said, for a man to save his life, he'll lose it. But if he will lose his life for my sake, he'll find it again. That's the real life. Praise God. Giving it up to him. Giving up your life to him. Putting it in his hands. And let him give you his life. That's real freedom. That's real life. That's real freedom in life. Is when we, Paul said what? I'm a prisoner of Christ. Praise God. I die daily. And Paul and Jesus were the most freest men to ever walk this earth. Amen. Aren't you glad you're free today? Aren't you glad you're free today? Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. I'm free. Hallelujah.